The bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for joining us. We're thrilled to have you. The role of Wendy being played today very, very beautifully by Judy Pilak.
I'm going to get an Academy Award.
I wouldn't be shocked if you did.
I'm going to be nominated at the very least.
Well, the nomination is just...
Right. Well, that's everything.
That's the key.
Because then we all know it's political who wins.
Right. Will you, when you win the award, will you thank the others in your category and tell the
Absolutely
world that you've been
not.
Inspired by them? No, they're
when
the losers.
When I won a Rookie of the Year in high school,
yeah.
For my very first play I was ever in.
What play was that again? I can't remember.
It was The Miracle Worker.
Were you Annie Sullivan?
I was Helen Keller.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
My lines were impeccable.
Very impressive.
Wawa. Anyway, yeah, it was kind of impressive. And when I got that award, I thanked no one but myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what talent
You brought
looks
yourself
like.
To the top.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
No one helped me.
You had to step over a lot of people to get there.
I had
there.
To learn how to basically hear, see, and speak. Yep. So it was all me.
And I think, Jude, that was a good template for the role that you now have here at WGN.
Yes.
You have to just climb over the carcasses of others to get to the top of the heap. Good for you.
Steve Bertrand is so tall, I can never get over him.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, he keeps me down.
Some of the little people. Kim Gordon's not very tall.
Yeah,
she's easy.
Yeah.
She's easy to leapfrog her.
I took down Andrea.
Yeah,
taken down Eric Rung. He thinks he's so tough.
He's not.
Boom.
It's all flash.
Gone. Yeah.
It's all flash.
Mm-hmm.
TV boy. That's what I call him. TV boy.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Eric Runge.
Who do you think you are, TV boy?
Yeah, TV boy.
Yeah.
That puts him in his place.
He can't even pronounce his own name. It's Runge. It's,
right.
Yeah.
It's spelled that way.
Forever
Let's pronounce
Eric
it that
Runge.
Way.
Runge. How about just dropping the E for
Whatever.
Us,
yeah. yeah. All right. So there's Judy. She's going to call
No, I'm very nice. Come on. I can't leave it like that. It's not me.
What if people heard that and went, I always thought she was such a nice lady.
I'm sorry.
And
did I say
that?
I played Sybil. And that was one of my
that was
characters.
One of your many personalities.
And now I'm back. Here I am, Judy.
When will they remake Sybil?
I know
that's a strange. That's not a topic that we
because
had planned.
Because Dean will love it when they do.
Dean enjoys the remakes.
Yeah,
we've
he
learned
means, apparently.
Sybil, years and years ago on the television, was played by the great Sally Field, and she did a fine job. But that's one of those things. Every once in a while, there will be something from long ago, and I'll go, "Well, that's ripe to be remade."
And that
and
is Sybil's you're right.
One, somebody
that
would
is
be
one
great.
Of them.
Who should play Sybil? Do you think?
Well, me first.
You
but
first.
I won't be asked.
Right.
And then who would be a good Sybil?
Who'd be a good Sybil? I think the logical choice, the one that everyone's thinking, is Sofia Vergara as Sybil.
She won't be able to do the
She would
the
be
accent.
Fantastic.
She could, no.
You don't see that? I would love to see her play Sybil.
How would she even
all right.
say Sybil?
In
Sybil.
Sybil. In my head, there. All right. For years and years and years, I loved the movie Westworld. Which was Richard Benjamin and James Brolin and Yul Brynner.
I love the series.
Yeah.
I have not seen the movie.
You gotta
so
see
now
the movie.
That you said that, I'm going to see
You gotta
the
see the movie.
Okay.
Growing
tonight.
Up, that was one of my all-time favorite movies. And I go, why don't they remake Westworld? This would be great. And in my head, I go, the James Brolin part should now be played by Josh Brolin. Wouldn't that make sense?
Interesting.
He's a big Hollywood A-list actor.
Absolutely.
But now HBO has done Westworld and taken
do you watch
it in a different... It's in a whole different... It's so different from... I mean, the same principle... It's a theme park where the robots have taken over, and that's the same, but everything else is different. But the other one is, did you remember a movie that Michael York was in years and years ago called Logan's Run?
Ah, that sounds familiar.
It was a world where, a space-age world, where upon being 30, there was a ritual called Renew, and what they would actually do is they would kill you because they didn't want people over the age of 30, but...
Okay, that's
Logan was on to this and said, well, I don't want to die. I'm
and did he
turning
run?
30.
Logan
yeah, he ran.
Ran. Yeah.
He ran. How did you know that? You've never seen the movie.
Dead giveaway, Logan's Run. Oh, and I think I have because that sounds really familiar.
Really good movie.
But it's either that or Soylent Green. I'm thinking of one of them.
Soylent Green was okay.
Yeah.
Soylent Green was, the whole movie was just a setup for the, I don't want to give away the ending, but I mean, I guess you could say about any movie, the whole movie is a setup for the ending. What movie isn't?
That's called a movie.
That's how they do a movie, right? It's a beginning and then a middle and then the end comes and people go, oh, that's the killer. That guy's brother. I didn't know he would be the killer.
Well, was Logan's Run, though? You want that to be remade?
I would like them to remake Logan's Run. And then there's also been things that I go, they should never remake. And then they do.
And does it work?
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
That was all right.
It's all right, yeah.
When they remade the original was Johnny Depp.
Yeah, you're right. Some originals are so perfect.
Yeah.
They're perfect.
Right. There was a time where they made Casablanca, which is such a great movie. They made it into a TV series, so that's not really a remake, but kind of, sort of.
Yeah, no, see, I don't, that won't
Do you remember who played, now, you've seen the movie Casablanca, right?
Yes.
With Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah.
All right, so that role of Rick Blaine, when it was on TV, was played by, ready? David Soul from Starsky and Hutch.
Sounds like a hit wonder?
Yeah. Don't Give Up on His Baby.
I had his album. There was one song on it. Yeah.
Don't Give Up on His Baby. That was it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But that's something you go, you don't need to. We've seen Casablanca. You're not going to improve. Even getting David Soul isn't going to improve on that. Right.
But now, see, Westworld, it does make sense to me, because that remaking that, if it's, first of all, HBO remaking it, so you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And it's a series.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, you've got to be able to improve it.
And the other thing about Westworld is technology has improved in filmmaking so much since they made Westworld, that now they can do things with the robot people.
I feel
people.
Like if I watch the movie, I'm going to be like, this is so dumb.
It's like taking a step backwards.
Yeah, it's not going to, be, making fun of it.
Yeah.
Why? Because then I won't even bother.
I watched it again.
Is it cheesy?
It's kind of cheesy, but it somehow works.
Okay.
You know? It's really
okay, I'm going
to
watch it.
I'd be anxious to see. Do you like science fiction? Are you a fan of science fiction?
Yes.
Then, yeah, I think you got to see it. It was written by a guy named Michael Crichton, who did a bunch of,
him.
Michael Crichton's work.
Yeah, I read all his books.
Yeah. Oh, I have to ask you this then. If you like science fiction, because I've shared this with other people that are not sci-fi people and they don't know what I'm talking about. When I was in Maine, I found out that Harlan Ellison died. Do you know who that is?
No.
Probably not. Oh, this is so frustrating.
Sorry, I'm not a sci-fi geek.
Don't feel bad. He's not an obscure science fiction writer, but he's not the first guy that people think of when you say science
written?
Fiction.
Because maybe I've read him.
He's written so much stuff. He wrote an episode of Star Trek that was great. He read so many books.
Okay.
And I got to know him. This is a weird backstory, but I guess this needs to be told for me to get this point across. When I was a kid, I would watch The Tonight Show every night with Johnny Carson. Then after The Tonight Show came on a show called The Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder. Did you ever watch that?
Yes.
I loved that. It was such a great hour of TV. So that was on between midnight and 1 o'clock. And then at 1 o'clock, The Fugitive was on. And I'm not going to go to bed and miss The Fugitive, right? So Tom Snyder, back in the glory days of The Tomorrow Show, had this show on with the most interesting blend of guests of any talk show. It never made sense who Tom Snyder's guests were. It was, it was literary figures, it was sports people, it was show business people. So every once in a while, he would have Harlan Ellison on just to talk about the state of the art of science fiction. And I was just spellbound by this guy. I knew he was a good writer, but just his version of why science fiction is important. And I'm not the biggest science fiction fan in the world, but he kind of sold it, as just so imaginative. And it was how we won't get to see the far off future, but through science fiction, we kind of will.
And sometimes we do. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes we do.
Fiction is.
Yeah, I guess we.
Than truth, whatever that saying is. Yeah. Stranger than Truth. So is he like a screenwriter? Does he write books?
He was primarily a sci-fi novelist, but then they also employed him to write for various television shows, most notably Star Trek.
Okay.
And he just had this vision of the future that was a combination of optimistic and pessimistic at the same time. He was trying to be realistic about what could happen hundreds of years from now, but then with an extra flair to it. And I just,
See, that's the why I love science fiction, and the kind I love is the realistic one.
Yes.
I mean, because, I could sit there and say, that could happen in a few years.
Well, then this is a guy you got to be aware of. So he died when I was in Maine, and I read it when I came back. I was looking through. There's a website that talks about famous people. And I go, Harlan Ellison died. And I couldn't find mention of it anywhere, which is strange because he's in sci-fi circles. Mm-hmm. He's extremely well-known. But as we've just illustrated, outside of that,
it's
not that big of a deal, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So was that your story?
Yeah. Didn't you like it?
It was very good. I thought it had something to do with Westworld, though.
Did it? Maybe it did. I don't know. I don't remember. I'll go back and review the transcript.
Well, we said Michael Crichton, and you were like, there's this guy, and you said his name is Harlan?
Harlan Ellison. Yeah. It just reminded me because those are two giants in the world of sci-fi. So one reminded me of the other.
And isn't it funny how, I don't know Harlan, but I know Michael Crichton. Yeah. I read, you know.
Why Michael Crichton then?
Well, I don't know, because he wrote a lot of books.
Yeah.
And I think that's why if Harlan had written some
Michael Crichton's the one who did Jurassic Park,
yes,
too,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Right.
So his thing, if you look at Westworld and you look at Jurassic Park, they both have to do with theme parks where something's gone horribly awry.
And it could happen in my head. Like, I could see this one day happening.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, see, I mean, I think there's the technology to make a robotic dinosaur and have a theme park
Disney,
and have it go awry.
I don't think, all right, I don't know if you've been following this story, but I guess they're working on the cloning of a woolly mammoth right now. Do you know this at all?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, so they have figured out how to clone parts of it, but not the entire woolly mammoth. So when I first heard that story, this is as obvious can be, but you go, this is exactly how Jurassic Park started.
Right.
Is they were able to figure out how to pull DNA.
Was it like a spider or what was it?
It was a
bug.
Mosquito or something? Was it a mosquito in the book? I can't remember.
Well, probably the mosquito that sucked the blood from a dinosaur.
Yeah,
that's how.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because they make it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I love about that kind of science fiction. It makes sense.
Well, I only know this because I've read about it. I've not experienced this yet. But, you know, Disney is working on this kind of immersive Star Wars world where you don't just walk through it, but you're a character and stuff like that. So when you hear stuff like that, you go, that is also kind of the genesis of what Westworld is, where you it's a 3D experience where you're not just walking through a theme park, but you're part of the whole kind of feeling
experience
of it all. Yeah. So I think that I want to say that's for the better, but then if you're a devotee of Jurassic Park or Westworld, it doesn't end well.
Right. No. You know? Nothing. Westworld.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-mm.
Where nothing can possibly go wrong.
Go wrong.
Remember the ads? Do you remember those ads?
Oh my God, this is so good.
Visit Westworld, where nothing could possibly go wrong. Go wrong.
It is so well made. But you know, Westworld, as I like to tell people who don't watch, it's about so much more than that. It's about human nature.
Yes.
It's not about.
Yeah.
Because when you just describe it like that, it's like, okay, but no, it's so good because it's about humans.
But
not about the robots.
Wouldn't you agree that Star Trek, at its core, isn't really science fiction? I mean, it is. You blanket it under science fiction. But those stories that were told on Star Trek, especially the original, and I guess you could say it about all the Star Trek series, but especially the original and Next Generation, they were morality plays. They were played out in a sci-fi world, but it really was good versus evil and right versus wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yep. Absolutely, and I'm not a big fan of Star Wars or
Star Trek,
but yes, that's what it is. So that's the great thing about sci-fi is it's that setting.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's, I think, why it's believable.
Yes.
Because you can, you know, where's the other show I wanted to ask you about? Oh, Black Mirror.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
So dark.
It's like, for people who don't know, it's the British Twilight Zone.
Right, the British Twilight Zone.
But it usually deals with technology and how technology is going to come back to not do well by
there.
Us.
So that's scary to me.
Yes.
That stuff is scary. Again, though, because it's believable.
Yeah.
I could see that. God, the one with the hits, the number of hits you, the likes you get.
Yeah.
Walking around.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be 5 years from now.
That's good. There's versions of that right now. I mean, how many people, when they post something on Facebook, the reason they post it is how many people will like what I said.
How many hits will like it?
That's why I'm sharing it. Yeah, so that's kind of going on right now.
Yeah, so this episode is about people who walk around and you are judged in life by how many likes you have. And so, which on the one hand, you have to be very likable, right? So that's kind of a good thing. You can't be mean to people. But then again, it's like any human nature.
I know.
Oh, I'm going to judge you.
I know. No, I think that show's brilliant. I love that show.
I just gave you a like.
Oh, I got a like out of that. Thanks, Jude. That's very nice.
It's right there up by your
head. All right. Now, I'm confused on something. You're in here co-hosting today, so you will probably not show up in a minute to do the news. Do we know who's doing that?
I'm going to say Ryan Burrow.
Ryan Burrow, very capable.
Yeah. So when you know how we always make fun of him.
We'll see him
right there.
We'll rip him to shreds when he comes in. Yep.
He's talking to the producer first because he likes to cover all his bases.
Complaining. They're working me like a dog.
Why don't we just call him Ryan Weiner?
Ryan Weiner with the news.
Introduce him like that.
Yeah, like that. It's more accurate.
Here he comes.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
All right, so we'll take a quick break, and then Ryan Burrow will give you some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy on WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff, and it's Judy. Judy's filling in for Wendy. Wendy will return Boy, that's harder to say than it should be. Wendy will return.
Say that three times in a row.
I can't say it one time in a row. Three.
Wendy will return.
Smoke will come out of my head if I try to say it three times. Wendy was supposed to return on Monday, but I can't say it, so who knows what will happen on Monday. Ryan Burrow is here to do the news. Hello, Ryan. How are things? How are you doing?
Doing well. This is the first time I've been in this studio.
What do you think?
Just awful views. Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
You got to look out at the lake.
I stare at the lake while I do the headlines, so.
Yeah.
The funny thing is we have so many televisions up and down the hallways here, and they're all on the camera that actually WGN-TV uses that points out in this direction.
Yes.
So whenever you're watching the 9 o'clock news or the 5 o'clock news or whatever, this is the view you're getting from literally the camera that's about 7 feet away from us.
Beautiful.
We're looking at, which looks, by the way, like a postcard.
It does.
Totally
I
fake.
I by the TV and it almost looks like a window. The TV itself, the TV screen
it's
looks
so
like
crisp.
A window. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So our view from where we are in this studio, what we're seeing is mostly Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. We see all of Navy Pier. We see a couple of the buildings that are surrounding us. And it is. It's just, it's breathtakingly beautiful.
It's fun to watch the people walk, the boats go by.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pointed actually right up where the ambulances go, so I can kind of see when there's some activity going up and down by the hospital. And from a news perspective, we're always here if the Ferris wheel finally breaks off and
we'll
starts rolling through the city.
We'll see it first.
Yeah, all right. That's never going to happen, but when it stops.
She's terrified that it will.
Oh, yeah. No. When it stops, I'm like, why is the Ferris wheel stopped?
The other day I was in here, it was myself and Rokan, because he always comes in here with me and he takes my lunch money.
Sure.
And he said, as nice as it is now, he goes, imagine this in the winter when the snow is falling and this whole view will be of the lake with fresh snow falling on it. Now, I prefer the summer look myself,
sure.
But he's right. It'll look very, very nice.
We have four seasons here.
Yes.
At least two.
Yeah.
So, you know, Steve Rzanich almost missed a newscast a couple weeks ago because I told him to come in here and we watched a storm as it went.
Oh,
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But we've also been here in fog and it's great.
Crazy.
We are grayed out.
Enveloped.
Really?
In the fog.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Oh, man.
There was a storm the other day that I was like, acting like I was Tom Skilling. I'm like, oh, look at that line of clouds.
I'll tell you, that storm's coming in, Judy. I don't know what we're going to do. Now, what happened during the 4th of July? Everybody talked about the possibility of coming up and watching the fireworks. Did anybody do that?
There were a bunch of people. It sounds like Violetta. It sounds like Andrea was here.
Oh, yeah?
They all invited friends. It sounds like Patty was
nice.
Here.
Oh, did they use our fabulous...
I think they did.
Green room over there?
I think they did. I think this is a primo spot. You know, we used to, at the other place, at Tribune Tower, when the parade would come down, they did the Disney parade. People would kind of huddle up there on the windows, and they'd have a good
view. Well, you could go out in the balcony, but here's the bad thing. I brought my kids down one year, and we're out in the balcony, maybe eighth floor, and then they're going to start to do the fireworks. We're like, wow, primo spot. We start hearing the fireworks, but we aren't seeing them because they were behind the building.
Oh, no.
So, it was very disappointing. They started crying. We left.
And what's incredible, too, this building, you can see the crane two buildings over that's going up right now. That will soon be the second tallest building in Chicago, where the Tribune Tower is going to be. That's going to be a top three.
Yeah, so our whole landscape's going to change.
This is going to be the cave feel, essentially, where you can't see outside because everything is going much
Will
much
we higher. Not be able to see the lake then?
I think we'll be fine.
It's
going in over there, and the Tribune one's going over there, but the spire is going to go. That's been reactivated now too. I don't think it's going to be called the spire anymore. But that's where is that at?
I think it's to the right more.
And that's going to be another massive one. Yeah. I mean, the skyline is. And if you drive into the city right now, I'm always amazed at how many cranes.
Yeah, right.
It's
always
incredible. Yes. There are six of them, seven of them. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So this building that's right next to us, and that's
Swiss
where
the
Palm Restaurant is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where
yep.
Steve Bertrand has lunch every day.
Yeah.
So that's Swiss Hotel. And then the other thing is Blank now, but it will be this new tall building.
They're building it, and it's actually kind of wavy, and they're actually building a hole inside of the building to allow wind to go through it because they were nervous. You know, when you've got Legos and you stack them up real high, and if there's
they wobble.
Okay, that would make me nervous too.
This one actually, and I don't know if that you're going to be able to go into the gap. I don't know if that's going to be available to the public where you can go into
the gap to buy jeans, but
well,
the center,
you can always go there.
Yeah,
you know, until
that's
it closes
allowable.
Down. But there's going to be this gap actually inside of the tallest building that allows air movement. So actually, it's probably not a good idea to have people on there, I would think.
I'm not, obviously, I'm not an architect. You, Judy, you're well aware of this. I'm not an architect. But don't, is, I don't remember what the height restriction is on buildings, but don't they have to build them because they know there's going to be some sway within the building?
And if you've ever worked in the Sears Tower, people,
you can feel it.
I'm waiting to feel that here. I wonder if that will ever happen to us.
I don't know if we're tall enough for it.
18th floor?
I can feel it in the IKEA in Schaumburg. I can feel the vibration. Yeah, if you go into that food court area, you can feel like a vibration. I don't know if it's from the interstates or from the wind or just the way the building was constructed, but yeah, it's gotten kind of wavy feel.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I think we're going to be able to feel something here.
There were a couple nights when I was at the Loop, it was in the Hancock building, and there were more than one night, there were several nights where you could just, you could feel the floor bouncing back
and
forth.
Me no likey.
Yeah, no. That's a little disconcerting.
You have to take your Dramamine before you go
before you go to work.
Yeah. That is so honest of you, Ryan. A lot of news people, quote unquote news people, would have played into the myth, but not you.
Are you looking at me?
No, not you. You're very real, too.
Everywhere Judy is the newsroom.
Right.
We could be in a movie theater, and it's the newsroom.
If Judy's there, it is by proxy the newsroom. That's the way it should be.
I am who I am.
And that's all what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Judy, could you give me a bigger pen? This one's not quite big enough. I swear.
Let me see that.
It looks like a crayon for a five-year-old.
It's a giant.
Did a doctor leave that in here?
No, it was like a gift from Milton Berle.
This is ridiculous.
I don't know why I have a funny prop pen, but it's the largest pen that's ever been seen.
And do you see how this is broken off?
Yeah, I did that.
Bugs. Did you do that?
I did it by accident.
Is that one of the pens
that
banks
use
so that you don't
walk away?
So you don't walk away with it.
People who write their name like this.
It's like a crayon. My name and age at the bottom of every page I work on today. I've never had a pen for more than a half an hour that I don't break the clip on it.
I hate people who do that.
I don't do it on purpose.
Yes, you do.
No, I swear. Yes. It's so unintentional. I just hold it, and then all of a sudden I have a broken
pen.
You
break it. What are you implying? That someone comes along and breaks it with using your hands?
I admit that it's me, but I'm just saying because
it's
not...
It's subconscious?
It's always
unconscious.
Yeah.
I think so. You know what they say about people who pick the labels off of bottles of beer?
Oh, no. What do they say about them?
You know.
Something's wrong with them?
Yeah, they got issues. Let's just
I've never gone a half an hour with that part of the pen. It's
Andrea Darlis does that
to
every
too?
Pen in the newsroom.
Does she really?
Yes.
But it's not intentional. You know that, right?
No,
it's
just I don't.
A nervous
it's intentional.
Habit.
Actually,
she does.
Sorry.
She comes in and just snaps it off before she begins her newscast.
No,
it's the beginning of her shift. That's
how she gets. That one got that one.
She comes in early.
If she sees you're holding a pen and she's like, oh.
Domati, can I borrow that pen? Yeah. Sure. Crack.
Ha ha. Here's your pen.
Stupid
Domati. Oh, that's
terrible.
And that's
how you look right now. You know exactly what you did.
Well, they shouldn't give me the pen.
You know what? That wouldn't fly when you were 10, and it's not going
to
fly now.
This pen is the exact size of the bat that Bryce Harper used to break the home run record the other day. Why do they have pens this big? Why do I have this?
I've never seen a pen that big. It's huge.
When we made the move from the old building to this building, everybody was told, hey, clean out your offices. You got 6 weeks. You got 4 weeks. You got 2 weeks. So I could never find a pen in the office. When I cleaned out the office, I found well over 50 pens.
And all of them were broken.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Because of me.
Yeah, of course.
I know. I'm bad for the company. I'm costing the company
this
money.
This is a reoccurring nightmare in the newsroom. There are never enough pens.
Well, it turns out they're all in Bill's office.
Yeah.
So.
I got them all.
Because he needs to break them.
I'm going to corner
well,
the market.
Put back. I just throw the cap away. That's what I should do.
I hate having capless pens. Yeah, I believe.
It's not the same.
I know. But so here's the bigger question. Why would I keep this part that I broke off? I'm keeping it like I'll scotch tape it. No one will notice.
I can't believe it's not even yours and you just broke it.
I don't know whose it is.
That thing, look at how big it is. It probably cost a pretty penny.
Yeah, I know it did.
Is that from Allstate?
Yeah, it is. Oh, well done, Jude. They sponsored my pen breaking habits.
Yeah.
The good people at Allstate. are you taking a picture, Jazz?
Yeah.
Is this for social media?
Put the pen in front of your face and we won't be able to see your face.
No.
Hold the pen with full fist.
Right. Should I look sad?
Wait, should we use a real pen to show the difference?
Yeah, my goodness. Right, look at that.
Yeah, here's a real pen. Here's my pen.
That pen is on steroids.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
All right.
Okay, everybody, Facebook.
And this will be on the social media?
There you go.
All right.
Instagram.
That'll be fun on the social media.
And you know what's going to happen? People are going to post pictures of bigger pens.
Yeah, they will. Jazz, put that on my Etsy page.
Okay.
and tell people I sewed the pen. I used macrame to create this pen. I don't know how this happened, but here's a strange story that I don't understand how this happened. There was a tragedy in this cave in Thailand where 12 members of a boys' soccer team and the coach were trapped in the cave for how long, Ryan? Do we know how long?
It took weeks. It took them, weeks for them to be rescued.
Yeah.
I don't think they were found for, 10 days,
yeah,
I think.
Right. So they were in that cave for weeks, right? So it got the world's attention because, boy, what could be sadder than having your child, he's just going off on essentially a field trip with the soccer team, and they're stuck in there, and for a long time, they didn't know if they'd be able to get these boys out because storms were coming and the cave
was
flooding.
Yeah.
Right. So the world got together and said, we've got to help these kids. What do we do? So one of the people that wanted to help them was the entrepreneur Elon Musk, whose idea it was. And at the time, they were entertaining every possible idea.
Right.
So Elon Musk said, I'm going to send a bunch of engineers over there to Thailand. We'll figure this out. We want to save these kids. So the idea that Elon Musk and these engineers came up with was they were going to quickly create this miniature submarine because the kids couldn't. Initially, they said, we'll make them scuba dive out of the cave. But none of these kids know how to scuba dive.
Scuba diving is very difficult.
Expert who knew what they were doing, right, it would have been dangerous.
Right.
But none of these kids had ever scuba dived or scuba dove. Took a scuba thing before.
They never scuba
dived.
Yeah, and not to mention, it was so long. The passage was so long to get through.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't just scuba diving for a couple minutes.
Right. That's so important to the story. All right. So then Elon Musk said, what we're going to do is we're going to quickly build this little miniature submarine to go inside the cave, and it'll take the boys out of the cave. And then the other engineers went, that's not going to work. We can't. The submarine will not be able to navigate in these waters. It's too rocky. It's too unpredictable. So they figured out other means to get this out. The happy end of the story is all 12 members of the team were rescued and their coach was rescued. A diver did die as a result of this. Very, very sad byproduct of the story. But now here's the part that gets really, really weird. One of the guys who helped save the kids, in my opinion, a hero, right? He was one of the ones that got all the kids out safely. He was talking about Elon Musk and said, hey, Elon Musk tried to help, but let's be honest, his submarine idea was not a very good idea. We ended up not using it. We got the kids out without his submarine that wouldn't have worked anyway. So Elon Musk is so angry at this guy for bad-mouthing him and his submarine idea that he referred to him as a pedophile.
Oh.
With what I can find, absolutely no evidence at all to support that this guy has anything to do with pedophilia whatsoever. It was just Elon Musk saying, hey, don't badmouth me, don't badmouth my idea. You, sir, are a pedophile. He referred to him as a pedo, which is slang for pedophile.
Right.
Since then, he then said, when people called him out on it and they go, wait, where are you getting this? He goes, look it up. You'll see, you know. So now he has apologized because there is no evidence that this guy has had anything to do at all with anything close to being a pedophile. But how does that happen?
What's wrong with people?
Elon Musk is a brilliant guy.
And he's about to be very involved in the city of Chicago, too. With what's coming.
Is the underground tunnel that gets us from the city to the airport.
His company won the bid to
the boring
make
company.
This happen. Yes.
Yeah.
To get back and forth from O'Hare Airport to, I believe it's going to be Block 37 right there on State Street. $25, but you can do it in 12 minutes.
How about that?
Worth every penny.
Have you seen the artist renderings of what it'll look like?
Yeah, I watched some of the. It's like you're getting
sci-fi.
It's not a little submarine, is it?
Judy, you're a pedophile. For even suggesting.
See, there you go. You went straight to it.
You mean a pedo?
That's what they're calling the underground system. Are you going to take the pedo there? Wait, the what?
That would be hilarious. Yeah.
That's not what we're calling it. No, Elon Musk said.
I think, Ryan, the first time you cover him when he's here, you're going to go, what are you going to call it, the pedo? Come on, you got to do it.
And that will be the last interview that we'll have.
So we've got the pedway system.
Mayor Emanuel, I'm sure.
We already have the pedway system in place. So, Elon, can we just call it the pedo? Are you good with that? Everybody's happy? Everybody's on board? Yeah? All right, good. How weird, though. I mean, remember when you were a kid when you would call somebody something and it was inappropriate and somebody would go, that's not nice. But Elon Musk is above that, I thought.
Well, is he 10? Because
no, he's older than 10.
Yeah, because that's what you do in the schoolyard when, you know, na-na-na-na-na. But I feel like maybe the first guy, the pedo.
Yeah,
did he,
the alleged pedo. Who has no history at all of being a pedo.
But was he really ripping Elon? Because it seems odd that he would, just because.
I'm trying to find exactly
what he
said.
He's not the only person who said, dumb idea. I mean, but thanks for trying.
I think they were spitballing everything at that point. They were thinking about drilling down, like, miles into the ground as an option.
One of those, you know, so good for you for trying to help. So I think there's more to the story.
Judy, the man's name is Vern Unsworth, and according to an interview he did with CNN, he was talking about the means by which they got these boys out of the cave system. And he said that, here's a quote here, Elon Musk's submarine was just a PR stunt. Other people alleged that as well.
See, well, there, that's said, different. He was saying you weren't trying to help.
Right.
You wanted
your name out there. He said here's where it gets ugly. He said he can stick his submarine where it hurts, according to Unsworth, who had a pivotal role in the rescue of helping authorities pinpoint the boy's location. Again, this is according to CNN. It just had absolutely no chance of working. He's referring to his miniature submarine. He had no conception of what the cave passage was like. We alluded to that just a little while earlier. The 47-year-old Tesla and SpaceX CEO didn't take the criticism too kindly, lashing out at Unsworth in a series of now-deleted tweets on Sunday, that's last week, in which he baselessly accused the diver of being a pedophile. He said, I never saw this British expatriate guy who lives in Thailand at any point when we were in the caves. Sorry, pedo guy. You really did ask for it.
Wow.
But it's always two sides to every story. I mean, why did he have to be so vicious when he's talking about it? It's like almost like
you couldn't understand any of this anger.
Yeah,
I mean, guys got out.
Salvo, as it were, that was thrown. I'm like, really? He had to be so rude and like, oh, he just, how does he know? Maybe he was genuinely trying to help. He's got all the money in the world.
Right.
Those are the people you want to step up always and say, let me help.
Right. I think because this guy, this Unsworth guy, was saying, we knew that there'd be people risking their lives for these kids. And instead of this being a PR circus, those are my words, not his, and saying, well, just put a submarine down there. That's how easy it is. He was saying, it's not as easy as that.
I know, but he was
could have been nicer about it.
There sounds, again, more to the story.
Yeah.
Something's going on between those two boys.
Yeah.
Does this sound like
that?
There's some history
other rooms,
there.
Other rooms, boys.
Exactly.
You go to your room.
No, you're right, Ryan. You got to separate these kids.
Yeah, and I don't know. He started off
with
a bang.
Put the phones down.
And
stop
then,
tweeting.
Exactly. So
it was more pointed than it needed to be.
I mean,
as you pointed out, the end result was a happy one. The kids were saved. The coach was saved. Very sad about the guy who lost his life during the process. That's horrible.
Right. If someone's asking him about it, you know, what about Elon Musk? He could just say, yeah, okay, that was never going to work.
Right.
He didn't have to go the extra mile and demean him like that.
Right.
I'm rubber and your glue works in so many different ways.
What you say about me, what bounces off me sticks to you? Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just come back with
How about
that.
A good deed never goes unpunished?
No good deed shall go unpunished. Yep.
All right, well.
Words to live by, sadly. All right, so here's another follow-up. Do I have time? Yeah, we can do this too. Another follow-up to a story from last week. We told you the story about this guy, John Schlatter, who was known as Papa John.
Schnatter.
Mm-hmm. What did I say? Schlatter?
It's spelled Schnatter.
Schnatter. Papa John Schnatter.
You might just want to stick with Papa John.
Better spelling, better beats.
That's their slogan. Right. All right. So he's had what we in the business call an interesting week.
Mm-hmm.
He had a while ago on a conference call used the N-word, and not only used it, he was talking about how, I have to go back in time just a little bit, he was upset with the NFL because it was his belief that the NFL should have done a better job at harnessing their players for the kneeling during the national anthem.
He said it was hurting pizza sales.
Right.
They were a big sponsor, big corporate sponsor to the NFL as well as all of the teams, and he felt that numbers were down because of that, and
right,
it was hurting his pizza sales.
Right. They were, Ryan, at the time, the official pizza of the NFL, which is a big designation. A lot of money's changing hands to become that. He not only sponsored the NFL, he would sponsor teams privately as well. He really wanted, if you thought about football and pizza, he wanted you to think about Papa John's pizza. That was his goal. All right, so during a conference call, he talked about how there was a time where Colonel Sanders, he brought Colonel Sanders into this, would use the N-word and really had no consequences to suffer. It didn't go over very well, obviously, and it shouldn't. He was then removed as the CEO of Papa John's. It's tricky because he's still the principal owner, but he's no longer the CEO. Yeah. He was kicked out of headquarters.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, they lost a lot of business, too. They've got name on the Louisville football stadium there. Yeah. They're going to begin the process of getting that removed. He was on the board of trustees. And we know Kim Gordon, who grew up in Louisville. I mean, he definitely has a presence in that city, but his presence isn't always warmly felt. I mean, he's not one of
these
guys.
Even prior to this,
people, let's just say he's a very dynamic character and kind of rubs
and
some
a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
Well, the family of Colonel Sanders is very, very upset that they have been dragged into this. And I guess rightfully so. Because even if Colonel Sanders did say these things and I'm not sticking up for him, this would have been so long ago. It doesn't make it right. There was never a time where this was right, believe me.
Right.
But it is kind of strange that now they're worried, the Colonel Sanders people, the KFC people are worried that there will be some residual effect on them because of what John...
Sure.
Schnatter has said. Let me find the exact quote. Oh, he initially, Schnatter's thing was, he said that Colonel Sanders called blacks N-words, and that's where the problem arose. So now on Friday, Schnatter told a Louisville station, WHAS, that he was just talking the way that the colonel talked. So this is still a recent thing. Colonel Sanders' grandson, a man named Trigg Adams, told the Louisville Courier-Journal on Wednesday, just yesterday, that this is an absolute lie that Sanders used the racial slur or any other racially offensive words. Now, I had heard years and years ago that the colonel talked like this regularly, but nobody seems to be able to provide any proof of this.
No YouTube back then.
No, there was no YouTube back then.
I mean, even if he did and it was wrong.
Yeah.
How, when? We're talking about right now, and how does he think it's okay?
Right.
Like, well, I'm going to go back in history here and point to this guy. I mean, you learn from your mistakes.
Right.
Well, so he's just like a crybaby.
And
at this
point. I was just doing two ways for ABC on this story, as well as the story about the Milwaukee Brewers pitcher who put those tweets out
Hader.
When he was 17 years old.
Yeah,
Josh
Hader.
They were trying to draw connections between the two, and it just didn't seem right because this was something that happened in May versus something that Hader did back
when he was. Teenager.
17 years old, yeah.
Adam said he's a weasel. He's talking about John Schnatter. Schnatter. Which one did you tell me it was, Ryan? I've already forgotten.
I want to see how many times you flip-flop.
I'll keep flip-flopping. He's a weasel, Adam said about Schnatter.
The current journal.
He said because he's prejudiced, he's trying to say something else, too. Colonel Sanders, says his grandson, had absolutely no prejudice against anybody. Sanders died in 1980, and he donated more than $20 million to various charities, which included black churches, Adam pointed out. Not Church's Fried Chicken, they're a competitor.
Another thing that came out, actually, from the information on Schnatter is the discussion that maybe Papa John's would merge with Wendy's.
Oh, that's interesting.
Did you hear about that? Yeah, that was some of the conversation. I mean, you know,
but if you're
companies
Wendy's,
are constantly talking to each other, so that it shouldn't be a surprise. But just thinking about that possible link between those two.
But if you're Wendy's right now, it's way too hot a piece of toast to touch.
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
It?
But we see that.
No one's taking a bite of that.
Uh-huh. With actually KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut are all together, right?
That,
they're all part of the
A&W,
same.
I think, is also
a part of that.
KFC. Right,
and then which one is Baskin Robbins and Dunkin' Donuts? They've merged as well.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, thanks for hanging out.
No problem.
Greatly appreciated. Judy and I will say goodbye to you in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy and WGN. At the beginning of the regular show, Judy and I made a vow to do the entire show standing up, and here I am standing up. And Judy, you are too, aren't you?
You know what happened?
Yeah, what happened?
Let's admit it. You won.
I won.
I blinked.
Yep.
Because I came in and sat down. I didn't even think.
To be casual.
And then I was sitting, and I realized at some point during halfway through the stream here.
Yep.
Like, oh, he's standing.
I stuck to it.
And Ryan came in and stood, just because I know how you guys are.
And we bet $500. Remember? Yeah. $500.
I don't remember that.
I thought
we
did.
Such a bad memory.
Pretty sure we
You're
did.
Bill, right?
Yeah, I'm Bill. Thanks. That's why the world should
don't make me
tag.
Sit you down.
No, I don't want to. Nobody needs that aggravation. Thank you so much for filling
it
in.
It was so fun.
That was a
always.
Blast. We really appreciate it. Tomorrow, The return of la 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 from the WGN TV Morning News.
She's hilarious.
She's a very funny lady, I've been told.
Not funnier than me, but she's pretty funny.
Different kind of funny. Mm-hmm. A more European blend of funny.
Yeah, she's very international. Funny.
Yes. We get a lot of people from the colonies who call in and enjoy the show.
She has that effect on people. Yeah.
How about that? How about that? Don't forget to see Sofia Vergara and Sybil tonight at 8 o'clock on the DuPont Network.
On Lifetime.
On Lifetime. That should be a great show. I'm anxious to see Sofia Vergara as Sybil.
Oh,
that's what people say.
12 of them, however many were there.
All the personalities. Thanks for doing this, Judy.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Another adventure tomorrow. Bye, everybody.